Blog Talk Radio.
I close my eyes sometimes and I just think like did you really do this thing? Like, is this even real, cuz? Crazy. I go to sleep and I try to wake up with a clear conscience. You feel me? Like, I done been through the mud, sacrificed a lot to get to the end zone. But just trying to give our kids a better life than we had. I always wanted to change the cycle and create a new generation and pass down everything I learned for me. I'm just thinking out loud. Love. I wonder what life would probably take me, yeah. Won't break me, yeah. I show some love and who hate me, yeah. That's crazy, yeah. I kept my cool without no AC, yeah. Got something to prove, I jumped in a pool and now I'm wavy, yeah. And lately I've been trying to hold my blessing. You talk to God, but you don't know the message. Those are lessons. Walking in circles without no direction, no exception. Don't give advice if you don't know the...
Welcome, 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 friends, to your One World Soul Hits. One World Talks with Amir Shakur. You know what? Hey, we got a great show this evening, and just wanted to just kind of get started. We got some special guests, which we're going to introduce momentarily. And I say one special guest right now, but hey, you know, we count them up. We count them up. You know how we do. All's fair in entertainment, radio, and music. Yo, okay. So, before we begin, you know how we do. Just wanted to say a special announcement to our sponsors, and our sponsors are always going to be Soul Hits One Radio, very number one in counting, right? Number one in counting. And we're going to go ahead and introduce our guest momentarily. He's definitely waiting in queue, and very happy to have him. Young man has been with me for a minute. All right. Okay, so let's just do a little bit of the sweep, and we're going to take it from there, and you know how we do. So before I get started, you know, I'm just going to say we give all blessings to the Creator. Y'all know who He is, and y'all know what He does. He does His thing very, very well, and He's the reason why we're here, so we got to pay homage to Him. Am I right or wrong? what you think about that special guest? Am I right or wrong? Don't we have to give it up to the Father? All right. So I'm going to introduce you in a minute, but what we're going to do is we're going to do this thing in order, and we're going to get started with the sweep, okay? All right, so let me get this prepared. And you know what? This is our day one. So, you know, day one, you know, hey, we might not be as smooth as we want to be, but we're here and we're in the house, right? So that's what's up. So, as I said, I wanted to welcome friends to Soul Hits One with your host, Amir King 7 Shakur, and that's me. Today we're opening up on a good note. Number one, we're starting with a good note. It's an interesting note, but it's a good way to open up. You know, it's the new year, spring, first week or second week of spring, I should say. Rolling into summer, it's gonna be here pretty soon, so we're looking forward to the good times, rock and roll, and all that good stuff, right, Carla?
That's right.
So, This show is going to bring you the best information in music, entertainment, and news, all done from an urban positive perspective. I'm going to say urban, but we're going to put an exclamation point right in the positive perspective, urban. Okay? All right. I like that. What you think about that?
I think that's awesome, man.
That's what's up, right? That's what's up. Okay.
Definitely.
So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And our show today is a topic that's kind of been a little back and forth in the community. I would say the urban community, you know, and it's basically the topic of conversation is really about, you know, is R&B really dead? Let's ask the question, is R&B really dead? So here's the thing. If you're listening out there and you want to get in on it, I'm going to leave you the number to call in. The call-in number is going to be 319-527-6060. 310. Let me say that again. 319. I'm sorry, I'm scratch that. Forget about that number. I'm going to give you another number. That's going to be 563-999-3446. 563-999-3446. And like I said, before I introduce our two special guests, you know, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we do. What we do is we like to talk about the community and things that affect the community, all from a positive perspective. I don't want to sound like a dead, repeated, broken record, but, you know, it's very relevant because in the news cycle, there's a lot of things going on. We're hearing about mass murders. We hear about so much tragedy out there. So it's always good and refreshing to come back and hear about things that are done from a positive community. Now, we're not ducking. We are not ducking current events. We're not ducking anything, but we're going to talk basically from a distinguished, positive, and well-informed standpoint, okay? That's what I'm going to check. Am I right or wrong? Yes. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, I think...
Feel free to respond, because you know what I'm saying. This is interaction. It's interactive, you know. Definitely, you two gentlemen are very impactful in the community and have been. So what do y'all think? What do y'all think about the current news cycle? We're going to get a little bit more into it, but I mean, you know, since this is day one of our show, we want to paint the picture about what we're doing and how we're going about it with the people. So what do y'all think about the positive welcome?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think right now that we are in a time where I think we can come back to a full circle. Hold on.
Joe, your phone is a little bit muted, so I'm going to have to ask you to just go ahead and repeat that a little bit. So if you want to bring that back, that would be great.
Okay. I don't think R&B is there. I think right now we are in a time where music is to the new generation, but I think our message is falling off, you know? And we can restructure that to the community in a positive way.
I hear you. Well, you know, even with what I know of the two of you, you know, we all are coming from the faith-based community, and, you know, that's something that is deep-rooted in a lot of not even just black folk, but the urban community in general. You know, the church is the foundation of community, even back in the days of slavery, when, you know, basically all of the meetings and everything were held. They were held in the church, you know, and the community got together, right, and they decided what to do. You know, that was the way it was done when they had the church. You know, not all of them had the church, you know, hey, but, you know, so the church was a real blessing. So, listen, I don't want to be a bad host. I'm going to be a great host for y'all. So I'm going to introduce y'all the correct way. But before I introduce y'all, I want to put this whole thing in order, okay? So let's put it in order.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to discuss not just recent headlines, but let's discuss R&B. You know why R&B is needed to be discussed, because it's a genre that combines rhythm and blues from the elements of pop, soul, funk, hip-hop, and electronic music. And as you guys very well know, if you don't know, and maybe the people who are listening or who will listen to this broadcast, as of three years ago, I'm going to put it out there, I believe it's three, I could be wrong, somebody, all our fact checkers, y'all could correct me if I'm wrong, 3 years ago, hip-hop became the number one genre in the world, and I would like to say that even from the standpoint of world music charts, hip-hop and R&B are pretty synonymous, pretty, you know, they're both derivative of black music or African-American music. You know, we know how that works, okay? So I just wanted to talk a little bit about in our sweep, and then I'm going to introduce y'all. What it is, those for the people who don't know, because everybody don't know. You know, we don't want to assume that everybody's informed, right? So what it is smooth style. It's a smooth style of arrangement. It's influenced by, you know, percussion, beats, rhythm. How did it start, y'all? How did it start? Let's tell the people how it started. It started back in the old country. What is the old country? Africa. How did it start? So basically, in African tribes, okay, this is what people don't know, and if they ask, we can inform them that when the community wanted to send a message, they didn't have telephone, right? They didn't have cell phones, right? They didn't have, not even a megaphone. So what was their megaphone? The megaphone was the drums. So the drums would tell what to do, when to do it. If there was an intruder that was in the community, the drums would drum, and everyone knew that intruder beat, that was time for war. So the drums were the beat of your life. So have you ever heard the saying, this beat, the beat of my life? I mean, this is where it all comes from. It evolves from African vernacular, and we've used that to this day even in our community. Music is very important, just like I explained. It started from the beginning, and basically our soundtrack to our life is, I mean, we all can remember, right, correct me if I'm wrong, holidays and what songs were playing on the playlist. I can tell you, honestly, somebody might beat me up, but if I tell y'all, if I hear probably some of the old Motown stuff that we grew up with, I'd probably get sick because I've been hearing that stuff all my life. I'm like, I don't know if I want to hear the Motown. They're precious. I value them. But, I mean, certain times, you know, you just want some new stuff, right? So, you know, Christmas, what you're going to hear, right? DJ 12 Trey, what you going to hear? You're going to hear what? Donny Hathaway. Give me some more names. What you think?
Yeah. You got Otis Clay. You got James Brown. You got Temptations. You got all these throwback artists. You got Smokey Robinson.
I tell you what, if there wasn't a picnic that didn't play Frankie Beverly and Maze, you wasn't at a Black Family picnic, was you?
No.
Let's say James Brown, like you just said, right?
Yep.
Am I right, fellas?
No, you're not. Absolutely
like
not.
You was in the wrong household. You better check and see where you at, because if you didn't hear no Temptations or some James Brown, you better, you know, you might have to you check your invitation, all right?
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. But so we're just pretty much discussing, you know, how this whole R&B thing and what it's all about and how important it is to us in the Black community and the African-American community. And I like to just say, it's not just those communities, but it's even the urban community, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's go back, and I'm going to continue doing my sweep. And I'm going to give y'all a great gentleman the introduction that y'all deserve, okay? All right? So contemporary R&B stands for rhythm and blues. And what is it, you know, I'd say the most common, the biggest, most pronounced period of R&B was probably, I'd say, right around the mid-80s. And what did you have going on then? Well, you know, you could turn on the radio and you had one of the biggest cultural phenomenons in the world, and he was really in his heyday. Actually, a few of them, but what are some of the names, fellas? Y'all could throw them out there for me. I know y'all know.
You got Troop.
Troop on the mind. I'm a Troop fan, my man. I'm a Troop fan. I'm Lil Stevie.
I'm gonna have Mike. I'm gonna put Mike in there. Mike.
There you go. There you see. That's the DJ right there. That's what he said? You heard what he said, JoJo?
Yes, sir.
He said Michael Jackson. So
yes,
in the mid-80s, you know, you had Mike. And if you mention Mike,
Prince.
You got to mention his opponent.
Prince. You got to mention Prince.
You got to mention Prince Rogers Nelson. Right.
Yep.
And
who else you had? You had ooh, it's a lot of them.
Yeah,
the 80s. You had New Edition. You had New Edition.
New Edition was a young R&B group, but they definitely were making it waves, especially with the little third graders and the little elementary school heart. They were the elementary school heartthrobs. I was jealous because all the girls like New Edition and they like me. They like New Edition and Ralph and them. I get it. You know, we get it. Hey, you know, we ain't gonna be no haters, but I was hating.
Yeah, it's a lot of artists. It was a lot of artists that carried on from the 70s to the 80s that made a big transition. You really can't say the 80s without the 70s because it pretty much transitioned together. It was a big come up, man. R&B, blues, all of that. Everything, it was beautiful back then. I feel like it would never be the same. I think that's the most authentic music that was ever made, and we'll never get that again.
I'm totally with you. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the R&B because I think it's real important because, you know, as y'all very well know, they say R&B is dead. I think that it may be true to a greater or lesser degree, but then I disagree totally for reasons which I'm going to discuss. But before we get more into this R&B theme, I just want to give y'all the proper introduction. So, listen, my special guests tonight are two gentlemen, and I can tell you one of them for certain, Mr. JoJo joining us, or JoJo the Gemini, also known as my brethren on the front lines of community and social justice. And JoJo can tell you some of the endeavors that we had were, we set trends in America. We're going to leave it short at that. And, now now the new endeavors as of 2024, you know, include the multimedia world, right with me, of course. So, you know, he's getting involved into that, and him and a very pronounced gentleman on the entertainment and multimedia scene in Chicago and abroad, DJ 12 Trey. If you don't know that name, you're going to know him.
If you don't know that name,
I can guarantee you will know it. So, I mean, you know. And those around the Midwest and the Chicagoland area definitely know that name. So, you know, hey, listen, y'all, I'd like to welcome you out to One World Talks. Appreciate y'all. Yeah. You know, I think I wouldn't do the first show without y'all. You know what I'm saying? Two better gentlemen. You know, there's no one else who I can know. What's that, JoJo? What you say? Oh, yeah. Sorry we couldn't get you on the live segment in the studio the other night. That thing was so glitched up. But, hey, you know what? The bottom line is you're here now, and we definitely appreciate that. So let's get right back into that. And, again, I want to welcome you out to the show, okay? Let's get right back into it.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
All right. Appreciate you. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, me, I got a big mouth, man. I mean, I've been doing radio for years. So, you know, just peek me in if you have something to say, interject. And we're just going to finish the sweep. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the subject matter. The question of the hour is that we were talking about is R&B. Is R&B good? Well, I mean, you know, from the standpoint of, I'm going to say my part, and then I'm going to let y'all say y'all part, okay? And then I'm going to come back around. So from the standpoint of when it comes to the R&B that we know of the olden days, like the Temptations and some of the doo-wop groups who, like DJ 12 Trey was saying, all the way up until, like, the mid-80s. I mean, you know, Lady Soul was a big hit probably back in the early 80s for the Temps, when they had Ollie Woodson and they had revived themselves a few different times, probably even up until like the mid-90s. And I say that's when it started fading away. And what made the fade happen with R&B? Well, I tell you what happened. Y'all know what happened. Hip-hop became pronounced. Hip-hop became more pronounced than R&B. And, you know, we didn't see the crooners and the schooners. You know, that was something that, you know, was kind of disappearing and fading away. But, you know, Mike, at a certain point, DJ 12 Trey mentioned Michael Jackson, and even in like the early to the mid 2000s, you know, he started going away. Even though he had a final wave right around the time he did Remember the Time, and he got with R. Kelly, and they did what's the R. Kelly song? I should know.
You're not alone.
You
were not alone. See, you here for a reason, brother. I'm trying to tell you, you're here for a reason. Yes, you were not alone, and that revived Michael's career to a greater degree. And guess what? It was urban, it was soulful, it was R&B, and we can remember before that time frame, Mike was doing more of a rock edge type sound, right? It was more rock and roll type stuff, even his look. But when that period came around, and that was his last, I'd say hoorah, you know, for lack of a better use of the word, that was his last hoorah. So, you know, it was soulful, it was R&B, it was really smooth. You're Not Alone, Remember the Time, Butterflies. Remember the Butterflies song
with Marshall?
So, you know, that was all quintessential, and that was Mike going back to his roots, right? For many reasons.
Yeah,
and I think at that point in time, and I know he had had some battles with Tommy Mottola and Sony Music and so on and so forth. So I think he kind of wanted to get back to the people, and the music reflected in his attitude, and that's why it changed back. And hey, we welcome that, because some of the greatest hits from Mike came from that time frame. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the question, not to steer to, because Mike can take us all away from the question. The question is R&B dead? Yeah, well, R&B is dead from the standpoint of, you know, the olden acts and the legend acts. A lot of those guys are no longer around, and, you know, I mean, you still see Otis reviews and all of that, and you'll see, you know, I mean, I think Otis out of the Temptations is the remaining one that's left, right? You know, and he's probably in his 80s, but I know I still see them touring around. I'm like, old, he's still out there doing it, right?
Yeah, he's still doing it.
And we can say the line, which was made up in the movie, that was wrong, but it was a great line. Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. You remember that line from the Temptations movie? So, that was actually a made-up line by Leon, but that was never really said. But, yeah, you know, Otis is the nucleus of the group to this day. And, you know, hey, man, we got to keep our legends while they're still around. And, you know, we got to pay homage to them because, you know, they're leaving us every day, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So my standpoint is I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to open up the door to either one of you gentlemen to give your take on it. My standpoint, so get ready. But my standpoint is because hip-hop has claimed 28.2% of album equivalent compensation. Say that again. As of 2020, MRC data, which was formerly the Nielsen Music, and Nielsen Music collected all the data for record sales and album compositions and all of that, and that was up until the streaming era. Since 2020 and beyond, streaming has become the thing. So, you know, it's changed up a little bit. So it's MRC data instead of Nielsen anymore. But so R&B and hip-hop claim 28.2% of all composition when it comes to consumers buying music. So that's 30%. That's a huge big rock, right? Huge piece of it. So because hip-hop has led in the genre specifically, I think hip-hop is kind of the one that's taken over now, as opposed to just regular R&B. But there's hope. There's hope out there. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to give it over to, let's say, what do you think? What about first you, JoJo, and then we'll go to DJ 12 Trey. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm like you, brother Shakur. I'm like you. As far as the sense of the legends being gone that I physically hear with us, yeah, we can say that those particular R&B eras is gone. However, I think they can be resurrected. And I say that because just recently I was listening to some music, and I digged in as far as 2020, like from 2020 to now, I actually recently dig some R&B that's trying to resurrect. Like, for an example, I was listening to a guy named Aaron Taylor. Me and DJ 12 Train went out to a venue one time, and they had one of his songs called Be My Muse. And I read the lyrics on that song. It's like, whoa, that's the R&B song I used to listen to back in the day. And Aaron Taylor did his thing on that song. If you just took the time to listen to it, you know, I mean, you know, it can be resurrected. You know, let's say that. And it takes with artists that have the patience on the message. Because I believe R&B has a, I think all music has a message.
Okay.
Like back in the day, you know, like the Temptations, or even DJ Telltale will tell you, we still play our Jodeci's at our venues. We still play our Temptations. We still sing some of them songs. Drew Hill, those songs have a message. Could those messages come back? I think they can if the right artists have a message. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I wholeheartedly agree. You get no arguments from me because, you know what, when I went on dates with my girls, you know, hey, man, when I played some Jodeci or, you know, we played some Drew Hill, hey, man, I was winning. So, hey, you know, I would say to you wholeheartedly. DJ 12 Trey, what you think, man? What's
going on? I totally disagree. I don't believe R&B is dead. It's sad that they are saying that because of hip hop taking over. But we gotta understand what we put a title to, because a lot of this music that's out now is not hip hop.
No.
It's rap. It's not hip hop. It don't make a lot of sense. They just playing anything sell. Everything is selling right now, no matter what it is, whether it's mumble music, whether it's how could we put it? Degrading music. It doesn't matter. I mean, you still got some artists out there that's still pushing good music, dance music for the clubs, doing all that. But I feel like R&B is winning. I feel like they're winning, because you still got your Usher, your Chris Brown, you have all your other artists that's it's including rappers as well that's using auto tune and they converting over to R&B, trying to make R&B sound songs, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is. I believe R&B is on the come up right now. Even though hip hop has a big influence on the younger generation, as well as some adults, but R&B is doing pretty good in my eyes.
Okay.
My favorite time was the '90s. The '90s R&B was cool. Even the early 2000s, late 2000s, but again, R&B is still holding down the fork. They not letting go, and it's transitioning to all over the world, where you have all of these artists who call themselves rappers sounding like R&B artists.
Mhm.
And that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can talk for days about it, but you know, it's a lot of things that we have to talk about. Talk about other than R&B to be able to get it all out, but
how about
R&B
45
dead.
Minutes?
R&B
and how about 45 minutes talking about it? Would that work?
Yeah, that'll work.
We got 45 minutes of your knowledge and dropping your insight to us, so we definitely appreciate you.
And
I just want to, you know, not to chime over you, I want to raise your point, because let's say on February 4th, about 4 weeks ago, we had the Grammys, right? And and in the biggest song, one of the biggest songs, actually, when it came to the winners list, we know that night was rapper Killer Mike came back from out of nowhere from the abyss. You know, and he made a huge impact. I think he won 3 Grammys that night. And Snooze, you know, SZA, You ever heard of SZA?
Yep.
And Smooth? Yeah. Okay, that song, which was produced by a young producer by the name of Leon Ware, who's a protege of Babyface. Man, I love that song, you know, and that song was just huge, huge, huge. So, I mean, and those two were two prominent features of the night. I mean, you know, you did have other R&B performances, but, you know, those are the two. And you know, I want to take your point. I mean, the night before, excuse me, not the night before, but the Grammys before that, we know that Bruno Mars and what's his partner name?
Anderson Paak
won big time, right, with their set, you know. And that dominated the Grammys, the Grammy before. That was the 2023 Grammys, right? So we can say that, you know, there are people out there who are saying that R&B is dead. But I just think that it's being rebranded like anything, you know, even with rock, you know. You know, 50s rock was one kind of rock. 60s rock is another rock. 70s rock is another kind of rock. I think it's just R&B is just transcending right now to a whole totally different dimension. And you can see other genres. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna open up the floor. But you can see other genres, like you said, DJ 12 Trey. They are mimicking everything that we do from an African-American music vernacular, and you see it being repeated. I mean, I say the weirdest thing that I see, and I enjoy it so much, have y'all seen the Asian dance troops when they be dancing to James Brown? You ever seen those videos,
yep,
man?
Yep, I see that all the time.
Man, that is so amazing. And they, the synchronization and everything, but they literally, and I'm like, are they really dancing to James Brown, or did somebody sync that up? But they were literally dancing to James Brown, and it was about 8 or 9 of them, note for note, step for step. I'm like, man, this is the coldest thing ever, man. I just love it.
Yep.
I just love it.
Yep. Yep, it's beautiful. And again, R&B is not dead to me, because you got these rap artists, hip-hop artists. They sample the R&B music. They sample the R&B music for their beats. You got the Larry Junes, you have Migos, you have 2 Chainz, you have Lil Wayne, you have Drake, you have Kendrick, you have all these artists that samples R&B music, whether it's from back in the day, you know, from the 70s to 80s, and they make their music off of it, you know. Puffy did it the most, you know. And again, it's everybody is using R&B now, whether it's pop artists, blues artists, hip-hop artists, especially the auto-tune. I remember Jay-Z threw shots at T-Pain about the auto-tune. Now everybody's using it.
Right.
Everybody's using an auto tune, you know. It's nothing wrong with it, you know. It's a beautiful thing, and like I'm saying, they are mimicking it. They're putting it in their music. It's selling all over the world. That's why R&B is still relevant, and it's making its way. Like you said, it's building its own ground again. It's like history repeats itself. That's all that's happening. Yeah. It's like becoming a newborn baby, growing into itself. It's just rebranding and figuring out its sound again, because the world is changing. The generation is changing. The younger kids are into more dance music. And I'm proud to say it, we have people outside the United States and other countries involved. You got Africa, you have the Asians, you have the Japanese, you have all the Chinese, you have all these different other cultures coming together to make music that sound exactly like R&B and rap. R&B.
So let me say something, and then I'm going to ask JoJo a question as well. Like, for instance, do you guys Do you guys remember the Quiet Storm radio hour when radio was real big and, you know, every station had a Quiet Storm? Dude who sounded like me, real smooth, you know, big bassy voice, smooth, you know, you know, silky type voice, you know what I mean, like me. Anyway, anyway, so, you know, and that was like, you know, and that disappeared because radio kind of went out the door. And that was, I think that's another reason why people say R&B is dead, because, you know, you had, like in Chicago, you had, at one point you had WBMX, and, you know, and radio was really pronounced. People would be at home, and they would turn on radio to their favorite personalities, but because, you know, radio is not a thing anymore, you know, people listen and they stream now, so basically it's not the level of what's the right word, saturation in that respect, but because you can stream, you can make your own playlist and all of that. So it's kind of different than it was before, right?
What?
You know, do you know what I mean?
And
what's your take
not
on
to
that?
Cut you, not to cut you off, but everything is changing. Like I was saying before, everything is changing. You got now, you know, radio stations is becoming irrelevant. Now, shout out to Keith Sweat. Keith Sweat kept the quiet storm going for a while. For the past few years that I've known, I catch the radio every now and then. I hear Keith Sweat got his little quiet storm hour where he's playing his R&B music on a radio station. So shout out to Keith Sweat for keeping that going. But nowadays, everybody is either using, they are either using YouTube music, Spotify, Apple Music, anything of that nature. Now it's Bluetooth.
Siri.
They are Bluetooth. Yeah, and Siri. Some people use Siri, but everybody's now is using a Bluetooth radio in their cars or in their homes. They have Pandora. They are not really listening to radio stations no more. So they got a variety of everything. And most importantly, what you will see is a lot of R&B is being played through these apps and through these platforms. A lot of R&B is being played. We see hip hop being played, but R&B is being played a lot.
Right.
Whether you hear it or not, it's being played, because I know when I DJ my set, R&B is a big part of my set. It's a mood changer. I don't want the rowdy. I don't want the ratchet. I don't want the trouble. So you have to be able to control your crowd. So when I control my crowd, I bring that feeling, that good feeling back. They're drinking. They're feeling good. So why not keep that love making, family grooving, dance, R&B music? You know what I'm saying? I keep it going, and that's what makes the world go around. And I keep it going. Like, R&B is a big part of my everyday life.
To DJ 12 Troy's point, there was a time we did a little gathering. I'm gonna let you get to your questions, Shakur. We did a gathering one day at one of our venues that we worked at in the music. But make a long story short, it was getting rowdy, and DJ 12 Troy gave me a cue. Hey, I need you to sing this song immediately. And when I sung the song, the crowd went down from rowdy to calm. So yes, R&B does calm everything down. It's a peacemaker at the end of the day.
Last but not least, I had to. Sorry, Mr. JoJo, I had to. But I have to say this, and I'm gonna let y'all have it. Gospel music is transitioning.
Yes. Oh yes.
They are taking their gospel lyrics and placing them on R&B cover beats. From the Aaliyahs to the Keith Sweats to R&B. Put it like this. They are sampling. They're taking these R&B beats and they're making their gospel songs to them.
Sure. They've been doing it.
It gets no better than that. It gets no better than that.
Well, you know, I love your, listen, you guys, if you want to chime in and give, let's do it, because this is about interaction, and I love everything that the two of you are adding and contributing. And, you know, let's say this. I think that
I think that for the people who are naysayers and saying R&B is over with and it's gone, basically based upon our interaction, let's set the record straight, because I think that's what we need to do. It's not the fact that it's gone, but it's the fact that the way people are consuming the music, like you said, and I said, yep. DJ Twelve Trey, and maybe JoJo, you alluded to it too. It's not the same approach only because technology has changed, right? So, you know, yep. And I think that might be the reason why, but at the same time, because it's more accessible. So, you know, maybe back in the 80s, you know, you didn't have the, you know, well, you did. In almost every home, you know, you had the component stereo set, right? You remember that? You know, they had mm-hmm. your CD player, your tape player, you know, it would be a component set, you know what I'm talking about, right? So that doesn't yep. really exist anymore. But so, you know, but what has been replaced with, to your point, DJ 12 Trey, is a Bluetooth speaker, right? Or your computer yep. and you know, and you stream and you put it out there. And here's the thing. Even with a little Bluetooth, you know, you might go to Best Buy or Big Lots or something, you know, and you might get one of those for $19 and $20. But do you remember back in the day to buy a whole component system, how much it was a grip, wasn't it?
You know yep, what I'm saying? Yeah, so it was.
Yeah.
You go to Best Buy or Circuit City or Sears or Montgomery Ward to get a whole component system. You probably was out at least about $500, just to keep it all real. You know,
we gonna get deep, a little deep right now. Okay, so now we're gonna look at it from the people's point of view. And it is statistically, it's everything I'm about to say is facts. So we have to look at how the world is going right now, versus back in the time from the 50s to the 90s. I give it to like the early 2008, you know what I'm saying? R&B started changing, but we have to understand the world we're living in, it's a bit crazy right now. It used to be, you didn't have a lot of women listening to rap like that. They was always into the R&B. They listened to some rap. But now, nowadays, the young generation, including the older women now, they are more into the ratchet rap. The just regular hip hop, they are into it because that's what the world is selling right now. They're not producing R&B to this young generation. They're not advertising it to the young generation. The hip hop, the rap artist is what's selling right now to them because that's what sounds good. You don't hear too many people riding down the street bumping R. Kelly, Usher, Chris Brown. You don't hear that. You hear a lot of rap.
I would take your point, but then I'm not gonna deny that, because really depending upon where you at. So we in the urban hub, the Midwest and Chicago more specifically, it's definitely an urban hub, and it's a creative hub for music as well, right? Because some of the greatest R&B soul acts came, right? I can go down the line. Donny Hathaway, Curtis Mayfield, you know, you had, you know, the Shy Lines.
Willie Hutch.
I mean, I could keep going. And we're just talking about R&B. We're not even going to blues, because if you go to blues, we could sit up here all day long.
Exactly,
and, you know,
exactly.
We'll be here till tomorrow talking about that. But what I will say... Donny Hathaway, I'm sorry. You know what? I cannot talk about the greats without mentioning Donny Hathaway. You got to mention Donny. And Chaka Khan from Chicago. And guess who else?
Yeah.
Quincy Jones. Quincy came from Chicago as well. So, I mean, we had some really greats. My mentor, Carl Davis, who did Gene Chandler. He did the Duke of Earl and Jackie Wilson. And here's the thing that I'm going to throw out for just a little fact while we at it. You know, Motown was actually started in Chicago. Did y'all know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Barry Gordy started as a writer for Jackie Wilson, and he was coming to Chicago as a songwriter for Jackie Wilson, and the Brunswick Records was set up on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, so that's where Barry started. As a matter of fact, that's where Barry met
Smokey Robinson. He didn't meet him in Detroit. He met him in Chicago because Smokey had the Miracles, and they auditioned, and they were like, the managers of Jackie Wilson, the Turnpulls, was like, nah, we already had the Ink Spots, so we don't need another act like the Ink. I mean, the Ink Spots. It's the Ink Spots. So they was like, we don't need another act like, no, not the Ink Spots. You know what? I'm sorry. Y'all, the 50s people going to kill me, or the 30, whatever it is. The Platters, they said that Smokey and the Miracles were too much like the Platters. To make a long story short, they were disgusted. They walked out of the office right there on Michigan Avenue, and Barry followed behind him, and he's like, man, I'll work with you. I'm from Detroit, too, and y'all from Detroit. You know, and he was just so disgusted with the Turnpulls that, you know, he left. Anyway, make a long story short, that was just a little trivia. I do want to say another aspect of DJ Tro, Trey, and JoJo the Gemini is, you know, when it comes to R&B, the reason why it will never go away is because it's embedded into the fabric of our life, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So think about one of the things that we know. What about the movement? How the movement and music is always going hand in hand. And some of the biggest movement songs have made, we know the songs like Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud by James Brown.
Exactly.
Or what about What's Going On by Marvin Gaye? What are some of the other ones that you could think about? Maybe Caravan of Love, which was a huge song by Isley, Jasper Isley, the brothers and the stepbrothers of the Isleys. You know, I mean, these are movement songs, and those are embedded in the fabric, and music and movement, even from the church standpoint, have always gone hand in hand. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. The reason why people say what they say is because there is a long, I'm going to say it again, L-O-N-G, long, complicated history of urban music. And it's so complex that, you know, as the music industry reckons with who it is, what it is, there's no way. There is no way. And if anybody says it, I would say they're wrong. There is no way that they can erase R&B as a music, or that it will be erased. There's absolutely no way. You know what I mean? Because it's too important. It's been too important to many of us in our lives, right? You know.
Yeah.
And this goes back for 4, 5, 6 decades. You know, and if you want to go back even to the 20s, you could even say, even though it may have not been called R&B, it was probably called race records or something like that. You know, you talk about Billie Holiday and, you know, Duke Ellington and, you know, folks like that, you know, I mean, then you could say there's a longer lifespan with it, even though it was called something else. They called it race records, I believe, you know. I'm sorry, I'm not the historian of this. I probably need to be, and if we're going to do this project, which we'll talk about, some of this will have to be pronounced because, you know, we want to be able to stand in defense of, especially us being music, multimedia folks, you know, DJs, so on and so forth. We want to make sure that, you know, if somebody comes and asks a question, we can tell the story right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Let's move on. I want to talk about the bottom line. Let's talk about profitability because that's, you know, if you don't understand it from a cultural standpoint, which I started talking about, then you may understand it from the standpoint of money and logistics. Let's talk about how much R&B brings in. But let's talk about, I talked about a little bit about the consumption of it. So we had a 2018 statistic that says that R&B rap is number one, 21.7% of the mark of all music consumption in the country is hip hop and rap. What's under that? What y'all think is under that?
To be honest with you, I don't keep up with the money side of it.
I'ma tell you. Just a matter of getting, because, you know, we could talk from passion or, you know, but we also want to bring back some numbers. So pop would be 20%. You know, we drop it down from there. What's under pop?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll would be 14%. That's your old guys like Mick Jagger and them who's still around. They 90 years old. They still touring. You know, they still out there trying to do things and all that. you know, R&B actually itself is 10% standalone. So, you know, like I told you guys at the top of the hour, 30% of the music that's consumed in the country is urban music, which is either R&B, hip hop, and rap. Okay, so what's under that? What's under that? 9.4% is Latin music. Okay, so that is 9.4%, and then a smaller segment of that would be country music, which is 8.7%. You're gonna go down to your EDM. That's, you know, that's your, you know, your rave folks and all that. That's 3.9%. And then 3.2% is, you know, the faith-based, like the inspirational stuff and church-based music and whatnot. I think one of you mentioned about that. That's 3.2%. Yeah. So it stands outside of R&B and soul. Like, inspiration is its own different genre, right? We know that. And then 2.7%. Country goes back. That's right. That's in between Latin and East. That's 8.7%. So it's really small as a market genre, which is one of the reasons why I'm going to throw this caveat in there, throw it at y'all. And if y'all want to talk about that, we can, because we got about 40 minutes. But let me say this. It's amazing that some of the R&B acts are doing country, like Beyonce, and I think, what's the young lady from Memphis? Bobby Brown, I think, even did a country music project, I think. You know, and I'm like, why are they trying to do country? You know, it just, I guess, you know, hey, I guess it's whatever floats your boat. But for me, it's such a small segment of music. Why do we want to go there, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know. I mean, I would rather see them doing blues. I mean, I can see them doing blues before country, you know, which are similar in characteristic and sonic, right? You know.
Right.
But you know, hey, I guess that's their thing. And I guess to top it all off, to finalize it, then you got a world music and jazz music. And jazz is actually an expansion of R&B, but jazz is 1.1%. And then back in the olden golden days, probably in the early part of this century, last century, it was jazz. Jazz was kicking it strong. It was the number one. It was the largest. And now it's the smallest with 1.1%. So, you know, it tells you something. It says something. With that being said, let's look at some of the numbers. Let's look at some of the numbers as far as dollar points. So I want to talk about maybe some of the top four biggest acts and their albums when it comes to R&B. And you'll be surprised. I know y'all going to be surprised at these numbers, because when I was researching, I was surprised as well. But I'm going to give you, let's say, who do you think is, well, you know what? Who do you think was the number one R&B act in the world to date?
I want to say Jasmine Sullivan, but I'm not too sure, so I don't want to say too much.
Bro, you'd be incorrect.
I'm thinking
far,
I would.
But hey, you know, I'll give you a good chance.
I give it a shot.
This conversation. Biggest R&B act in the world to date?
To date. So from then to now.
Come close to setting those type of numbers.
So you saying from then to now?
Yep. Since as long as y'all been around, who was the biggest R&B activated?
I say, well, I don't want to say her name, but I'm going off female. I don't want to say it, but Beyonce.
I have to look at that and see exactly, because I think I passed her up, but nah, it's not Beyonce. And you did say the name before. You said it. 89 million records sold. Michael Jackson is the most iconic and influential entertainer, not just in R&B, but in history. His sixth studio album, the 1982 Thriller, was the highest selling album of all time, having shipped over 51 million copies worldwide. You feel me?
I didn't wanna toot his horn. I didn't wanna say the name, so I tried to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt. But you know, Mike did his thing, you know.
And, you know, you got to understand, too, Mike surpassed two different decades. I mean, two different eras of it. He came from out of the 60s
right.
with his brothers in Motown, and then he went all the way through the 70s. And actually, it was three different eras, right? Because the 70s was
yeah.
its own
right.
thing. The 60s was its own thing, which is where they started. And then he went into the 80s and the 90s. So, four different eras, right, if we really think about it. So he spanned
yeah.
at least four or five different eras of music. So, yeah, you got to give that man his props. And one of the things
yeah.
that shocked me is his competitor, 89 Million, his competitor didn't even come close to selling that. Prince, you know how many albums Prince sold? No, I love Prince. I love Prince,
yep.
but we got to remember, Prince didn't have the career that Michael Jackson had, right? So,
nope, he didn't.
Prince came around in like 78, I believe, and he went into his heyday was more in the 80s. So he had maybe 20, Michael had almost a 20-year span on him, right? Almost a 20-year. But
right.
89 million, guess how many albums Prince sold all time? The late Prince.
Joe, you can go ahead and try to figure that one out.
I know y'all don't know. This is just for commentary.
Yeah,
I appreciate y'all playing the game.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to throw it
out.
Let
me figure it out.
I got to figure it out. Because it was off. I know him.
Don't be Googling.
I want to say over 150.
No, sir. Remember, if Michael was the highest selling, he sold 89 million, then everybody else falls short of him. But I'm not going to have y'all guess this one. But Prince actually only sold, and when I say only, I shouldn't say that, because Prince people would freak out.
48.
No, sir.
Four.
He didn't even get that high. You know how many albums he sold?
I'm going to say 20.
4.7.
20.5 million until the point when he passed away. Now, we don't want to take anything away from Prince Rogers Nelson. He is widely regarded as the most gifted musician of all time, but his biggest album was Purple Rain. We know that for a fact. And that's been six
right.
consecutive months. It's 6 consecutive months on top of the Billboard 200. 6 months. That's a huge feat. But, yeah, he sold 20.5 million. Now, you know who sold more records than Prince? This one's going to shock you. Local Chicago act that you know and love so much.
R. Kelly.
That's the man.
Kelly sold 32 million records to date. Now incarcerated, Mr. Robert Kelly. Now incarcerated on charges of racketeering and sex trafficking. But anyway, you didn't hear me say that either. I just fact the facts speak for itself. But R. Kelly released 14 studio albums between 1992 and 2006. Six of those topped the Billboard 200. You know, that's a huge feat for R. Kelly. And outsold Prince, he's well within the top 10 R&B acts of all time. Can you believe that?
Nah, that's
There's
crazy.
One more person who I want to throw out there just for numbers, because these numbers are amazing to me, you know, but there's one more, and these are just our acts. And honestly, I think she may have, I have to check, she may have passed Beyonce. I could be wrong, though. Not in the point of stamp of fan base, but yeah, I have to look at that. That's a good one. Let me check. God, I wish I had that. Anyway, I don't have it anymore. But Rihanna. Rihanna has sold a lot of records.
That's what I'm saying. We had this argument. I had that argument with somebody, and they kept saying, no, Beyonce. I said, no.
Rihanna did her thing. Rihanna did her thing.
Yes, sir.
And the number showed that.
26 million. Rihanna cannot be taken. Rihanna is one of the most prominent singers of the 21st century. And Rihanna has scored 14 number one hits and 32 top 10 songs, top 10, 32 of those on the Billboard Top 100. Believe it or not. Amazing, right?
Yeah, I like how you do your research. I just play the music. I don't really get too much into the politics of the music because it changed.
Right.
You got so many people. You got so many people fabricating and just putting false information out there. Like, and it just made me uninterested. You know, so I just, you know, I just pay my homage and playing the music when I DJ, listening to it on my day to day routines and just loving it. That's all I do. But I don't really get into the politics of it because it's just not my thing because of all the.
So from a standpoint of me, the reason why it's kind of important, and I think like when we're doing a project like we're getting ready to discuss soon, we're going to discuss one of the most prolific R&B producers in history. And that opens up the door for me to introduce our product, our project itself, and I probably should just go ahead and segue into it. So the project itself is we are doing a project, and hopefully you guys can join me as contributors to this project. But the project is we are talking about and profiling the top 100 urban music producers in history. And, you know some of the names, Teddy Riley, Babyface, those are contemporary names. But some of the older names, Berry Gordy, Norm Whitfield, that's Motown. Or, Bumps Blackwell, that's Little Richard and James Brown. You know, so, I mean, these are... This project, because I think people want to know, there's a certain segment of people want to know, these are the hit makers, right? And
yeah.
JoJo, do you know a certain hit maker who this might be important to, a potential hit maker, a future hit maker, do you know? You know anybody like that who that information might be good for?
No, I'm dying to know.
Okay, I'm going to kick you off my show because you're talking to one. So you know what? You know what, DJ 12 Trey, you know what? What's wrong with him, man?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you, man? You're not getting an invitation back. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, you know, crunching the numbers means a lot, right? Because, you know, we want to look at analytics. We want to look at where the music is selling. We want to look at what countries are selling in. You know, we want to look at, like, the Netherlands. For instance, where, you know, some of the kids down there, they know more Wu-Tang than what we know, right? Like, Wu-Tang could do a concert in the Netherlands right now and sell out the arena, you know, or New Zealand, where, you know, the singles chart there is inundated with R&B music. Or what about Sweden, where the Swedish singles chart, you know, if you don't see something urban on there, then, you know, you're gonna I would fall out. Or, you know, if you are a house music act or R&B act, since day one, we could always go to the UK and we could rock a show because, you know, they love it, probably maybe even more than what we love it. You hear me? So, you know,
right.
To the UK, you can go there and sell out a show. I mean, I saw the Jacksons sell out, I think, Wembley Stadium or something like that. They like the Beatles, you know, over there, you know, and, you know, like, they may not be able to sell out, you know, I don't know, you know, Merchandise Mart or something, I don't know, here. But if they go overseas, then they're huge, right? So, you know, these numbers are, you know, these things are the reason why I crunch numbers. And so to make it, you know, just to abbreviate it, the project that we're doing is we are profiling 100 of the most prominent music producers in the urban genre spectra. All right, and that's going to be a database. It's going to be a book, and it's going to be a website. Okay, so I would love for you guys, and we're calling it the Master Cellar. So I would like for you guys to contribute whenever you can. You know, I think it's a worthy product. All right. So to make a long story short, let's talk about Mr. Teddy Riley. So I'm gonna do the segue, and then I will open it up for you guys to talk about it, because I want you to think about your favorite Teddy Riley tune, right? You know, and I think we may have a few of them, because I think maybe there was some you didn't even know that he produced. But let's start with who he is. So Teddy Theodore Riley, born August 18th, 1967, is an American record producer, singer, songwriter, credited with R&B, hip-hop, a hip-hop fusion. What do we call it, though? What is the music that he's credited with, DJ Short Trey? Okay, you said it, JoJo. You said it before DJ said it. You know, New Jack Swing, right? He's the founder and the lead singer of two groups. Well, he's actually not the lead singer of the second group, but he is the founder of both groups. One of them is Blackstreet, and the other one is who? G-U-I.
I don't think about the fact
that some of the biggest projects that Michael Jackson has done is, excuse me, that Teddy Riley has done is Michael Jackson. I don't know why Michael's on my mind. Well, you know what? You probably know, JoJo, why Michael's on my mind, but I got to get him. Anyway, Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown, Heavy D and the Boys, DJ 12 Trey, you said he actually produced Keith Sweat's first, I think, two albums, High Five, the Jackson 5, among others. Yeah. Riley did 2300 Jackson Street, you know, and that's just for starters. SWV's, he produces them. Two of the biggest records that he produced were My Prerogative by Bobby Brown. We know that. One of his biggest single hits was No Diggity with Dr. Dre and Queen Penn in the early 90s. Everybody knows that song. That's got to be a club favorite, DJ Choice Trey, No Diggity.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on and on. So Teddy was a very prolific songwriter, instrumentalist, and producer. And like you said, I said, we both said, and we all agree that he shaped R&B as we know it in the late 80s and the early 90s. I mean, he virtually masterminded the New Jack Swing genre. And, you know, and he also gave other producers their first break, like who? Pharrell and his buddies, the Neptunes, all right? He gave them their first break out of his studio, okay? So in Virginia Beach. And so let's talk about his origins. Where do y'all think his origins came from, Mr. Riley?
That's a good question.
Where did y'all origins come from when it comes to understanding music and interacting? Either one of you.
You go ahead, Tori.
Go ahead, Mr. Joey, because you've been slacking. So go ahead.
we gonna take his R&B card away, ain't we? We gonna kick you out of the club if you keep on slacking, my man.
I try not to slack. No, you said where his origins came from.
I'm gonna just say like New York.
Okay, you're right. You're right to a greater or lesser degree. But when you was a child, where did you go on Sundays?
Where did church. I go on Sunday? Oh yeah, church. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the church, and it was the church because that's where he got his start at. He actually was a drummer in the church. Right.
So pretty much all of them like that then. But you could pretty much say that for all of them.
Yeah, and that was a point that I wanted to make. When you see a lot of these prolific producers, a lot of them got their start in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very rarely did you see someone, you know, who was an urban hit maker and they didn't start in the church. Every once in a while, they may have started in the clubs or something like that as a DJ, like Dr. Dre really wasn't. I don't think he was. He wasn't known as start. He was more started in the clubs as a DJ.
Right.
But you know, that's the exception rather than the rule. Right. Those are exceptions. So for a man like R. Kelly's on my mind too, y'all. Teddy Riley.
What?
For a man like Teddy Riley, you know, the church was like the nucleus of where he would, you know, learn how to play music, learn how to do his drumming, and he literally was, you know, under, I believe his, maybe one, someone in his family, I think it's his father or stepfather was a minister, but I could be wrong. I have to go back and look at that. So let's flash forward a little bit because we got about 20 minutes left and I think we'll be good. But under local guidance of Gene Griffin, music producer, Gene Griffin was a gentleman who mentored Teddy, and Teddy came from at that point in time, he was in a group called Kids at Work, which was kind of like a TV type of situation, to where it was a small black band, and they were on TV, I believe. They had like a little TV show, Kids at Work, a little segment, and Teddy was part of that. And at the age of 18, you know, he came out of that and kind of wanted to get a little bit more serious about it. So at the age of 18, he was living in the same projects as some of the greats. And they found out that he was doing music because he was doing it prolifically, and he disciplined himself. He wanted to get out of the projects, and he wanted to move on into other specters and, you know, really do well in his music. And he figured out music was the way to get out of the hood, right, like a lot of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 18, you know, some of the people who he were located in the projects with knew he was doing music, like other rappers. Like, say, for instance, his first project was Kool Moe Dee's Go See the Doctor. So that was his first big project that went out there. And probably at that point in time, one of the biggest things that would happen is if you did a record project and, you know, you took the Frankie Crocker, one of the local DJs, and we're talking about New York, so it was a major segment. So if you got on by Frankie Crocker or one of these guys and they started playing your stuff, then you would hit the Billboard, you would hit the charts all around the country eventually, and they knew that. So that's why he was kind of in the right space at the right time. And so Go See the Doctor was the first hit at 18. It became a crossover. That was in 1986. And that reached 89 on the Billboard Top 100 chart. And then after that, he had worked with Dougie Fresh. Oh, no, he had previously worked with Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew in the show. And that's a big record, right? Am I right, DJ? The show by Dougie Fresh?
Yep.
You know, and, you know, to be honest with you, when it comes to beatboxing, we really haven't seen anything like a Dougie Fresh even to date. You know what I mean? There might have been a couple of guys who could do it that was decent, but when it comes hands down, Dougie Fresh is like the beatbox king to date for me. Y'all can disagree, but I give it to Doug all the time.
No,
time.
He got it.
You know, you had the Fat Boys and you had a couple more, but yeah.
Drag, Big Doug, Daddy Doug. Kane. Well, no, I ain't not on
wait
the
a minute. Big
Daddy
Kane,
no,
Kane was beatboxing?
No, I'm getting ahead of myself. You talking about beatboxing. I'm talking about just other artists that he worked with, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what I think that really what set him aside from a lot of the producers is, you know, he was in the right place, in the right space at the right time. And he knew a lot in New York, like Chicago. You know, we know a lot of the people who came from the South Side and made it in music, you know, like Byron and them from Tent City. And, you know, we knew, you know, some of us know a lot of those type of people. If not, we know their names. So, you know, but like even some of the New York boroughs, man, a lot of those guys were closer knit than the Chicago folks, because the boroughs was kind of like always at war and competition. It had been, you know, you from this borough or that borough. I still don't get the boroughs thing as much. Maybe y'all probably get a little bit more than I do, but I think it's very segregated. You know, I think they very competitive with each other even today, right? You know what I mean? If you ain't from this borough, you ain't down with us. If you ain't from, you know, Queensbridge, you ain't cool. You know, if you from the Bronx, you like this. You know, I think that's how they still think to this day, right? You know what I mean? So, make a long story. It's kind of like Cabrini Green versus, you know, Stateway Gardens, right?
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like back in the day, if you was from Cabrini and you went to Stateway Gardens, try to get our girls, you know, you might catch some fists. You might catch a five-piece, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Ted was just in the right place at the right time, and not even the right time for what he was doing, but even the right time for music, because back in the 80s, right, you music was like more pop. I mean, you turned on the radio and you heard like, you know, Boy George and them, and that was considered, you know, R&B, or you had George Michael and that was considered R&B, or they even had Cyndi Lauper with R&B. So, you know, we kind of wanted to get away from that, the pop type R&B, and we wanted to get to
right.
some real authentic R&B. And that's one of the reasons why I believe hip-hop came through, because we wanted something that was really more authentic of our struggle and who we are as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know, if y'all don't feel the same way. So, Ted was in the right place at the right time. He came through with some pretty serious acts. You know, I mean, Kool Moe Dee was decent, but back in the 80s and the 90s, he was huge, right? You know, Doug, and, you know, he was probably really like Jay-Z was at his peak at that time. You know, even Big Daddy came, like you said, he produced, like, Get the Job Done, and that was in 89, and that was a huge record, right? DJ Choice Trey, I Get the Job Done. And then when he started producing, like, some of the in-house acts, like Rex and the Fact, Rump Shaker and all of that, you know, the music was so hip, it was so chic, and it was different sounds that we had never heard before. One of the things that Teddy was successful in doing, he was successful in going to get sounds from, like, you know, the street, like, you know, like beat, like garbage can sound, like somebody beat on the garbage can. He would sample that stuff and put it in the music. And one of the things that he really used that on was Michael Jackson's album, Remember the Times, and even the album before that, which the name escapes me, but they use like car sounds. I think she wants to get it, and it was a couple of more tracks to where they actually used the sounds of cars. It was so innovative that, you know, that was like my first time hearing something like that. And Ted was really good about finding beats and finding sounds, because he couldn't afford like a $3,000 or $4,000 Sinclair or synthesizers. Synthesizers were super expensive back then, so they had to sample. And that's how mixing and hip-hop came about, because they were taking samples off of records because they couldn't afford drum machines or synthesizers back then. And synthesizers back then were big, monstrous things with wires hanging all out and all that. So, you know, you really had to have an apparatus to set it up anyway, right?
Wow.
All right. So to make a long story short, to bring it back to date, let's say even Ted, and I want to talk about two or three characteristics of sounds that make these guys great. And like for Ted, one of the things that you will hear in all our urban music, and I'm going to throw this out for y'all. What is one of the things when you hear a nice tune and people want to hear that tune on the dance floor, what's one of the things that stands out in those tunes when it comes to urban music?
The beat, the bass.
Okay, what kind of, go ahead. You said the beat, the bass, right?
Yeah.
Cool. I agree. We don't agree. We don't disagree, DJ 12 Trey. We know it's going to be the people want to hear that beat. But what beat is it, though? Do you know?
I can't really describe the beat of how it's supposed to sound.
Yeah. So I'll help you out. So as a music producer, and as somebody who, you know, they're gonna want to hear that snare. That snare, even like say for instance in Steppers music, that's what they're stepping on. They're stepping on that snare. If you got a song with a weak snare, it's not a song. When it comes to urban, they're gonna want to hear that snare, right?
Okay.
What else are they gonna want to hear? What else drives our music, y'all?
Bass drum, keyboards, saxophone, depends on the situation.
Saxophone, not so much sax. That's more jazz, blues. Blues may have a little bit of that. Right. But you did say it. You said that bass. That bass is something that's going to be prevalent, especially in more funk and up-tempo, but the snare and when it comes to hip-hop and R&B, there's a phenomenon called 808s, right? They want to hit them 808s and 909s. That's that big boom, 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 like when you hit cats with the with the speakers in their trunk and it's shaking and rattling the trunk. That's that 808 that you hear that's rattling the trunk. It's called an 808, and it's that bass, that kick with the bass foot on it, and like, you know, it blows your mind because it's so much. Huh?
The kick, the bass kick or something like that.
Yes, it's called an 808. So Ted's music was 808 and snare, and if you play any of his most popular songs, those are the two elements that you're going to hear in there frequently. And that's all urban music, right? Because, you know, we know that even going back into the church, you know, what's getting people to move? That doom, doom, boom, boom, boom. You're going to hear the snare. You're going to hear that snare and that kick. If you don't hear a snare and a kick, I don't know what church you at. You know, you might be at the, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, when it comes to, like, some of the Pentecostal sects and all of that, the really get down churches, yeah, you're going to have a drum set there, right? if you don't have a drum set, you're not in the right church. So, okay, y'all. We're going to come back. We're going to bring it full circle. Let's talk about, I'm gonna say my favorite Teddy Riley songs. What's yours, DJ 12-Trey?
Oh, that's easy for me. We're gonna start with the Before I Let You Go.
Woo! You picked well. I know you're a DJ. I know you.
That's my thing. Before I Let You Go.
Dave Hollister,
right? Yep. And then my another favorite one is, I'm a hold y'all for a minute because I'm going to see if y'all gonna pick it up. But another one is Happy Days.
Happy Days. Who is that?
He was behind that too. That was with Keith Sweat. That's Silk. He's behind that too now.
I didn't know that.
Then you got you can't forget about what's my other Deep. I like Deep. What's the song he did with Tony Tone?
Teddy Riley did with Tony Tone?
Yeah, he did with them. It's about a song, and I should have known off the bat, off the rip.
I'd have to look that up. Teddy Riley and Tony Tone, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, he worked with them. He did some music with them.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, those are my in my top right there. I got more, but I'm trying to get the names. It's so many songs, man. I can't keep up with all the names. I like Let's Chill. Don't Leave Me.
Oh yeah, Let's Chill is an all time favorite of almost everybody.
Yeah, I like Is It Good to You? What's my other one? Teddy's Jam, you know, Goodbye Love.
You got you a whole list of Ted jams, don't you?
yeah, the song he did with Bobby Roney, he helps him with that one. Don't Be Afraid, he did with Aaron Hall. He helped David Hollister with one of his new songs. It's not as new, but it's Spend the Night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That was actually my favorite one.
Yeah, that Spend the Night with David Hollister. Yeah, he did his remix to that. But he helped do that too. And I'm gonna leave it at this one because I'm gonna let JoJo speak. I like Keep It Right There. He did with Trey Songz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, JoJo the Gemini, what's your favorite Teddy Riley jam, man?
My favorite, okay, You Bring Me Joy. You Bring Me Joy. Joy with Blackstreet. That's definitely
it's Joy, Blackstreet. I got you.
It. That's definitely it.
Okay.
Another song that he did with Blackstreet, it was in the No Diggity song. It was in the No Diggity CD with Blackstreet. It's called Tonight Happy Song.
Okay.
That's definitely hands down my favorite.
Okay.
Man. The SWV remix right here with Mike in the vote in the background.
There you go,
right.
Joe.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely. I play that over and over and over.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Man.
All right, so y'all.
How about Super Junior?
Which one is that?
Let's see, Super Junior in 2014.
Okay. Okay.
Mama Super Super Junior. Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically about it. And so, like you said, that's so many. From Guy and Blackstreet, Let's Chill. Yeah.
All right. We got about 3-4 minutes, so I'm gonna give you mine, and then I need to know where y'all can. I need y'all information so people can know how to reach out to y'all and what shows y'all got coming up. So let's do this real quick. I'm gonna say mine, and then I'm gonna hurry up and get to this part because I need to know. People need to know where to reach y'all. So here's mine. Mine is going to be Remember the Time, Michael Jackson. And then Ted had a favorite group of mine, and I could play them to this day and not get tired. It was a group called Today that I can play to this day, and there's a song called Girl, I Got My Eyes on You, and Why You Get Funky on Me Today. I like that. And they had another song, which was a slow song called Take Your Time. Take Your Time Today. I love those joints. All right, and my prerogative, we'll throw that in there for Bobby Brown, all right? So listen,
right.
Y'all brothers have been excellent, man. Y'all stood the test of time, 90 minutes, and it went by so quick. Listen, y'all got to come back. Let's find out how we can reach out to you. Where can people find you if they want to see where you DJing, where you're spending that, DJ Trust Ray? Where are you going to be at? How do they reach you?
Okay, if you want to reach DJ 12 Trey, you can reach me on Instagram at DJ 12 Trey. DJ 12 TRE, that's my Instagram. Facebook, the same thing. DJ 12 Trey, spelled the same exact way. I really do a lot of private events, and I'm available for clubs and bars and all that too. I do DJ in 9600 South Pulaski in Oakland at GG Spot Bar and Grill. So whenever you want to come out and see me on the ones and twos, you can catch me there. You can also catch me a lot at the Waterhole on 1400 Southwestern.
You know it.
Out west, all right, the Waterhole.
All right. No. Hey, listen, if you heard that, we're going to put it out there, and we're going to put it on the website, too, just so you know. All right, JoJo, what's up with you, man?
Man, what's going on, y'all? My catchphrase is A-A-O, which is that goes back to the old school days. But they can catch me on Facebook. You can catch me on JoJo the Gemini on Facebook. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, it's my broadcast called He Is Risen Broadcast. It's a resurrection movement I had started up in 2020, 4 years ago, started in April. So they can reach me on those two platforms. I'm with DJ Teletray at both of them venues, as well as private parties. And I also go out around Chicago doing karaoke. So you can reach me on Facebook once again, JoJo the Gemini, or Instagram, He Is Risen Broadcast.
All right, then. So since we got 30 seconds, hey, man, you gentlemen, y'all keep up the good work. Come on back and join me, and we're gonna ride it out on my new theme music by Mr. Jordan Lucas, and it's called Legend. Y'all be good, and thank y'all for joining. Y'all remember, keep on coming back to us. So it's one with the Mission Core. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out.
Thank you.
did you really do this shit, my?
Talk to God, but you don't know the message. Those are lessons. Walking in circles without no...